So that means we had to work out before then. So 5 a.m., we're getting our workout in. 6:15, we have the meeting set. And there were guys like Ken Norton Jr. and James Washington and all these guys who used to pull the players together and do all the little things. We have to surround ourselves with not yes men, but people who love you and will tell you the truth, God's honest truth. She walks me outside. She said, which one? And I said, that one. She says, all right, you fight him. And then after you done whooping his butt, you fight the next one. Like, I had that fight in me, and they would have to bring me back. Like, it was always one of those things like, you know, chill out. You don't have to fight. Today is Wednesday. The game is not till Saturday. Just chill out. I was that kid.
Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know every single week it is our passion, our fire, our conviction to connect you on a deeper level to that burn that lies inside of you. And today is going to be a very special story on a very special timeline because the Super Bowl is coming. And we have Darren Woodson with us today, three-time Super Bowl champion. He was the heart, the soul, the fire, the vocal voice of the Dallas Cowboys back in the heyday. One of the greatest Dallas Cowboys of all time, future Hall of Famer. Yeah. But you know how we do it here at The Burn. We're not going to talk about all those accolades. I want to know about that fire, Darren Woodson, that fire that lies inside of you, that fire that says, man, this kid who grew up in Phoenix, who loved the game of football, why did he love the game of football? And why did Darren Woodson choose to do what it takes to go compete at the highest possible level in the game that you love? So, Darren, welcome. It's an honor to have you on The Burn.
Man, thanks for having me. Appreciate you, Ben, for taking the time, man. And we, listen, today is a good day, man. I had you on my podcast. Okay, man, you were awesome, brother. I mean, just flat out awesome. Look, you know, You mentioned it. You said something right there. You're talking about the burn. I'm always a guy, and I've never thought about it this way, but I've always, in my mind, I've always trying to figure out, like, why do I burn hot? What is the reason why I have this, you know, this, I got to get up in the morning, early in the morning. I got to go do this. And I get, you know, when I get knocked on my butt, why do I get back up? And it's almost like an attitude to where sometimes it gets me in trouble. Sometimes the attitude of that I want to accomplish so many things and I want to, you know, be, you know, go through so many walls or whatnot gets me in trouble at sometimes, but it was always something that was special in the sports world. I was that kid that when I was at 8 years old, when I got knocked down or I was told I couldn't do something or whatnot, I was a kid that always fought. Like, I had that fight in me, and they would have to bring me back. Like, it was always one of those things like, you know, chill out. You don't have to fight. Today is Wednesday. The game is not till Saturday. Just chill out. I was that kid. And it stems from being the youngest of four, single mom, living in the projects, didn't have anything. And I always felt like every day was kind of a fight. You know, it was fight for food. It was fight outside the house. You know, I can tell you one story I can remember when I went to school and I came back and that four kids had chased me back home. And my mom just happened to be there on a Friday. She worked two jobs. But this Friday, she was home. Kids ran me to the house. I walked in the door and I was huffing and puffing. My mom said, boy, why are you running home? And I said, you know, pointed outside, see boys, you know, they're chasing me. She said, my mom, this is my mother now. She walks me outside. She said, which one? And I said, that one. She says, all right, you fight him. And then after you done whooping his butt, you fight the next one. And I was like, absolutely. That's why I burn hot. It starts with my mom. My mama's the one who instilled this in me.
So this just hit me hearing you say that. And I don't know why I went here, but I'm going to go there because I think there's a lesson here to speak to athletes right now, because you know about my work in yep. collegiate athletics as well as the pros. And there's a major issue right now. Your mom, in an experience that was uncomfortable for you, really the lesson was, young man, when you experience something uncomfortable, you go step into that fire and handle your business. And right now in college, I'm going to call it an epidemic. There are guys who say, well, I'm not playing transfer portal. Things yeah. aren't going my way, transfer portal. So what's the message that you would have to these kids who are saying, hey, I don't have the patience, nor do I want to go and compete right. when I have to compete. I just want to go someplace comfortable. What would the, and I know you probably are surprised I'm going there.
No.
But it's interesting, but hold on real quick, because there's a part of your story that made me think of this. You were a linebacker.
Right.
You were a linebacker that they said, no. You're not going to be a linebacker. You're going to be a defensive back. And a lot of kids would have gone transfer portal. That's right. what we're seeing today. So what was it, that lesson, that caused you to say, I'm going to trust these coaches? These coaches say, hey, I'm going to be – and look what you did as a defensive back, right? Go. So just take us there, right?
Well, it goes back to having a great mentor. And I'll tell you what, and it goes back to not only trusting in myself and my own abilities to make that, to translate that from one position to the next. I knew I could do that personally within. But I had a great, great mentor in Lovie Smith. And I don't know if everyone knows who Lovie Smith is, but Lovie Smith was my position coach at Arizona State, went on to later coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then be the head coach with the Chicago Bears. And then now he's at the University of Illinois as the head coach. Lovie Smith changed my life early on. And he gave me that confidence and he instilled in me how to be not only a good football player, but how to be a better man off the field. And I think it was because of that trust that I had in him, I knew that I could always, my game would always be one where I could be flexible and I could translate from one position to the next. That's the one, because he spoke that into me every single day as a mentor. Hey, when I was down, get up. You can get this done. And I've always had a firm belief in self. I've gotten my ass kicked, and I'm sorry I said that word.
It's all good.
I'm not sure. But I've gotten my ass kicked way too many times in life, like way too many times. But I only know one way to get back up. You know, I always had people tell me, hey, man, you better get in the fight. Well, I'm in the fight. I got to be in the fight of life, man. That's why I do what I want, why I'm built the same way. So I've always looked at this portal system of these young guys getting in because they didn't want to go through the competition. They didn't want to go through the hard way. They didn't want to learn those lessons in practice or, you know, in life because let's just figure out the easy way. Well, at some point, you're going to have to set your feet and fight at some point in life. It's not just that particular moment. But at some point, God's going to put you in a position to say, hey, look, man, it's time to set your feet. And you better get through this. And I think it's even more so in college. Those are the lessons in college that you want to go through. I want to push the guy who's the star. I want that challenge. And I think, you know, as far as sports is concerned, you know, the whole meaning of sports is competition. It's competition. And it's not just competing on the field. It's a mindset competition as well. It's when you leave the cafeteria after practice and you go back and you watch extra film because your boy, the guy you're about to compete against, isn't going to do that work. But that's the work you're going to put in. That's the mindset that I want these young kids, instead of putting their name in a portal, let's go get that fight. Let's go get that fight.
I love it. You know, and this also speaks to that type of fight in you and just hearing your energy. And I mean, I'm telling you, you could still put the pads on. I know you could still,
no,
you could still get out there and do your thing. But you and I had a conversation about the seduction of success and standard over feelings. And I saw you nodding. And then I gave the example. I said, without even asking Darren, I know that this is the case. And then you were nodding, but so now I want to hear the answer. I said, man, if Darren was the guy, had an interception, pick six return, he wins the game, MVP. Darren's going, man, I can't wait to get into the building on Monday to break down the game film and say, what was my area of opportunity? Yep. And so it's not only stepping into the fight and wanting the fight, but even when you perform, not being seduced by success and saying, man, I still want to get better. So how important is that? Because this is not just a football lesson. It's a life lesson. When you had these games, I mean, you talk about 23 career interceptions, three Super Bowls, being the vocal leader. This is the highest level of the highest level at the highest possible level. And you did it and you still wanted more. Why did you want more?
You know, one thing I did have, though, I'll say this, Ben, is I had a real sense of amnesia after the game. Like, I could have that three interception game, 22 tackles, and everybody's patting me on the back after the game. And what used to go through my mind was, okay, but I missed two tackles. I gave up a big play on a seven route. Those are the negative parts of what used to always burn. And I don't know if I handled it the right way, but that's what used to burn in my mind. So when I see, even after having a good game, that night I used to always be thinking, man, I can get better at this, brother. I can get better at this. So I couldn't wait to get to the next day. And even to the point, there were certain times, even the next day, after you had a great game, you know you never played a perfect game. So if someone ever said, I played the perfect game, I never had a misstep, I never did anything wrong, call BS on it, especially at the professional level. That ain't happening because it just doesn't happen that way. So that was my challenge of, okay, yesterday happened, I had a pretty good game, but I want to see how do I get better? What is it? What are the mistakes that I'm making and how can I lift myself up the next day? And I'll tell you another thing. I surrounded myself, my two brothers, I have three buddies, closest friends, and all those buddies grew up with me at the age of five, six, seven, in that age range. We came up together. There is no way they're going to let me forget those plays, those negative plays. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that we have to do. We have to surround ourselves with not yes men, but people who love you and will tell you the truth, the God's honest truth. That's why after a big game, you go in on Monday and say, I got to get better. Because I know my buddies are always already, hey, yeah, you had a couple of picks, you had a good game and all, but hey, man, dude, you got to get better in the open field tackling. You know, there's those little things. So I've always felt like, there's a part of me that, am I looking for perfection? No, I don't think perfection is there, but I can try to get as good, as close as I possibly can in those situations.
So there's that mindset, especially in the game of football. It takes a very special group of men connected for the right reasons to do that consistently over a long period of time, right? We saw it with the Dallas Cowboys winning three championships. You saw it over two decades with the Patriots winning six championships. You don't see these things, that type of consistency, very much. Here's what I'd love for you to speak to, knowing that the Super Bowl is coming up, and we're going to run this the week before the Super Bowl to hype this thing up. Here's what I'd love to hear from you. To win three Super Bowls, some people, they're just happy to play in a Super Bowl. But you all as a team showed up and said, we will not be seduced by success. We're all going to have this edge. We're all going to have this nasty. What was the difference from a team standpoint? What were the Dallas Cowboys thinking about going into a Super Bowl? Because you and I both know it. There's a lot of teams that go in or players who go, man, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to play in a Super Bowl. What was the mindset of the Cowboys that was different that allowed you to not just show up and say, man, glitz and the glamour, I'm in a Super Bowl, but to capitalize on that opportunity?
You know, that's a great question, man, because people saw us in the 90s, specifically in the early 90s, and they saw the flamboyant flamboyant team, the Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders, and they saw all the glitz, the Emmitt Smiths of the world, you know, the all-time leading tackle, I mean, all-time leading rusher, you know, in football history. They saw all that, the star on the helmet. But what they didn't see was every day that defensive back group that used to get there at 6:15 a.m. every morning as a group without being told when to get there. Get there at a 6:15 meeting. So that means we had to work out before then. So 5 a.m., we're getting our workout in. At 6:15, we have the meeting set. And there were guys like Ken Norton Jr. and James Washington and all these guys who used to pull the players together and do all the little things. The little things. So it started in the meeting rooms, where that's where your success starts. Like, if you're willing to sit there and watch game or play after play after play and see your mistakes, correct those mistakes as a group, not just as an individual, but as a group. That's the reason why we were special. Yeah, there was a glitz and glam, but the you talk to the Daryl Johnsons of the world and the Emmitt Smiths, they were doing the same thing. They were there just at the same time we were there. Troy Aikman, who was a superstar, Mr. Cowboy, showed up every day at 5:45 with his lunch pail and went to work. And when your superstars show up and they set precedents, people will fall in line. And it's no different. And I talked to Teddy Bruschi, who's a good friend of mine, played in New England. He used to say the same thing. Number 12, the rock star everybody talks about. Well, number 12 got up early in the morning and he set precedents. He made sure that everyone saw him there early in the morning and they fed off of him. And that's how you build championship. That's how you build a championship team, is that your best players need to set the stage for the rest of the group.
Let's go roll. Let's go do something right now. You know, I hope everybody, you know, because sometimes people, they go, well, this is a football story. I want everybody to go back and listen to what Darren just said. It is about 3 minutes, 2 minutes. I want you to listen to it a good 3 to 4 times. And I don't care what you do in life. That is a team life lesson. I don't care if you're on a real estate team. I don't care if you're running a construction company. I don't care if you're running a... What you just said was people showed up with their lunch pails and they took ownership. And when teams choose to do that, teams win championships. And that is a thing of beauty to hear that from you. So here's how I want to leave this, because I can still feel the burn. I can still feel the energy. I can tell how much you love your team. Here's what I'd love for you to leave everybody with. Of all the coaches that you had, you cannot use your mom as the example, because she seems like she was amazing. But of all the coaches that you had, what's the single most significant lesson that you learned from a coach that if you said, man, if I get off here right now with Ben and I don't like share this with people to connect to their burn because it was so valuable to me, I'd be remiss. What is that lesson?
Time. Time is a lesson. And that time comes from Lovie Smith, because I was a project kid, West Side Phoenix kid, didn't know what time really meant. So I would walk into meetings just on time. I would get my workout finished just in time, or show up for class just in time. And it was Lovie Smith who talked to me about time. And one thing about time is you can't barter with God about time. You can't. There's no bartering, man. When that time is gone, it's gone. It's moved on. You got to move on from that. And Lovie Smith taught me the fact of that's true respect, is when you show up early, before 10 minutes, 15 minutes early, and they see you, your coaches see you, the teachers see you, your friends see you. They know you respect their time. And don't ever let anyone else steal your time. You own it. And that's the one thing I try to pass on to every kid out there. If you got time today, you pass it on our podcast. You said you got up at 2:30 every morning, right? Man, you're making the best out of your time, Ben. And that's a damn good lesson to me. because I've had, and this is the thing about like, you're always controlling, you're always continuing to grow and you're hearing new things. Like today we had that conversation and you said, you know, I do this, and this before 6 a.m. And at 6 a.m., I'm spending time with my kids. Man, that's a great lesson for me, because guess what? Tonight, I'm going to challenge myself the same way, because I need to take advantage of my time with my kids, and I have not. So I appreciate you for the lesson today, but that is the most important thing that we could ever learn. That's one thing I'll pass on, is take advantage of your time. It's here now, but at some point it won't be.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, man. This is just the beginning. You know, it's incredible for us to be connected. This is definitely an iron sharpens iron. You could tell me it's that lesson, but I've just taken so much from you, and I can't wait to continue to build on this. I am in your corner, and I look forward to staying connected, and I appreciate your time. Really lighten the fire, because I know there's some people every week they show up, and they're questioning, do I have a burn? Do I have fire? You are an example of what it means to maximize that fire. And I hope everybody listening recognizes the career that you had on the field. Right now, you look at the interview that we did, you got a great team around you. You still believe in team. Now you're dominating real estate. Now it's your work as an analyst. So you're staying connected to the game, but you're also still challenging yourself as an entrepreneur. And I love it, man. If there's anything I can do, you let me know, and just keep that burn hot, because your mom put you out there to get that burn going for a reason.
She put me back in the fight.
You can't let it go out. So, Darren, thank you so much. And to everybody, stay connected to your burn. Stay connected to what drives you. Do me a favor and share this episode with somebody that needs to grab a hold of their time, that needs to step out into that fire, that needs to get uncomfortable. I can't wait for the opportunity to start to hear more about your story from staying connected and sharing it with us. Stay connected to your burn. Keep attacking one day at a time.